It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it's monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 3.3.
Riding Damodar from D&D into every torture cinema episode, because blue lips are just so hot.
They really are.
So sexy.
I'm Damodar.
Okay. I can't think of an equivalently bad character that I can be.
He's just so stereotypical bad.
I know. He's horrible.
He's just, but he's wonderful in that way because it's almost, he's almost like that laughably cliche character.
I'm tempted to watch the second D&D movie because it's him through the whole thing.
Is it really?
Yes.
Damodar?
Damodar stars in the second film.
Wait, like the character Damodar, not just the actor.
No, the character Damodar comes back for the second movie. And he's
We are watching it.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to even watch it for torture cinema, but just for the
All right. Well, we are here with torture cinema, obviously, and this episode we are watching Alone in the Dark, which is an Uwe Boll film. You might recall that one of our first torture cinemas was for In the Name of the King, which was possibly one of the most awful movies we've ever seen, although it was upstaged by the Guyver.
It was very much upstaged by the Guyver. However, for modern cinema, In the Name of the King, I think, has been our worst. So.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We kind of have a lot of hate for Uwe Boll around here because he's that bad.
But it's not as bad as other movies we've watched, I think. It's bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, but we'll get into why it's not that bad, but is at the same time really bad.
Yeah. Okay, so
tell us what the movie is about, or do you want me to tell you what the movie is about?
I think my rambly nonsense, everybody likes that, so we'll just do the rambly nonsense. Okay, so the movie is Christian Slater is Harry Dresden, and he apparently used to be like a kid in an orphanage and got electrified, and then he ended up in some like magic bureau that investigates paranormal stuff, and then he left, and now he just wears a trench coat and runs away from creepy guys. And he's dating an archaeologist's assistant, and so there's some nonsense, there's like evil bad things, and he's searching for artifacts to like find out about his past, and there's the organization that's like trying to fight the evil bad guys, but they're really not. We find out that they created them later, and there's a whole bunch of mess about ancient Indian, the Akari, or whatever the hell they're called.
Abkhani,
whatever. And basically, it's just a monster movie which tries desperately to be sci-fi-ish, and I mean that's basically what it's about. The fighting monsters.
Fighting the evil from the deep.
Yeah. Although it's never really clear to me why they're experimenting on children.
Because children are easy to experiment on. I mean that's like the standard sci-fi meme.
I know, but there's usually a reason for it.
No, there's never a reason for it.
Because I just don't...
Because they're easily manipulatable, and they're not fully grown yet, so you can do things like splice things onto their spines and stuff.
Which doesn't make sense, but it just never made sense to me because I didn't understand where the things they were putting on their spines came from and why they were connected to the monsters.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense at all.
Or why the monsters don't just claw their way out of the giant cavern under the ground that they're in.
Because they're... trapped by Abkhani magic.
Well, I'm not buying that.
Neither am I. It was pretty weak premise. So.
They could have at least said that it was surrounded by gold.
I know, and they didn't even go there.
No.
For our listeners, supposedly gold traps evil spirits, according to the Abkhani, and they have some sort of weakness to gold, randomly. The monsters.
But, and light.
and light, but they decide that they're going to bury them deep underground where there's no light and not surround them by gold. Unless it's like a gold... Oh, it's a gold mine. That's right.
Yeah, but that, whatever. But anyway, okay, so that's basically the plot. It's really dumb.
Standard dumb. There's nothing like spectacularly dumb about it. It's just kind of dumb.
It's kind of like if you saw this now and you're like, I'm probably not going to see that because it doesn't sound interesting.
It's not interesting at all. That's really the point of all of this. So let's do our 5x5s.
Yeah. And
start
just
with likes.
Really quick, Jen, you do know where the reference to our 5x5s come from, right?
No, actually, I don't.
Am I the only one that thought this was a really simple, geeky reference?
Like, it's always sounded familiar, but I don't know why.
It's from Aliens!
Oh, yeah.
And it's also from StarCraft, who took it from Aliens.
That's right.
All right.
You're a dork.
I am a dork, because
I hate that reference. 5x5s, start with your like.
All right, well, my first like of Christian Slater.
That's my first like, too!
Yay! Even though he doesn't act very well in it, it's just Christian Slater.
It's Christian Slater. I've had a crush on Christian Slater since I saw Heathers. which, by the way, I'm really disappointed in my husband. He has never seen Heathers, and he's freaking a diabolical evil genius in the movie, and he's awesome. And then, of course, you've got, you know, things like Cuffs and the radio movie.
Right, but what does it have to do with this movie?
Nothing, except that it's Christian Slater, and I've had a crush on him since then.
Yeah, well, he's
so Christian I don't really Slater. Care that he sucked in this, because theoretically he would be on one of my dislikes, except that I have this, like, nostalgic love for Christian Slater, so he has to be my first like.
It's the eyes. He just has this squinty look all the time. And he always looks like he's contemplating something greater than himself.
It's the Jack Nicholson clone in a more attractive body.
Yeah, but without the voice.
Right.
And not quite the creepy eyebrows that kind of look like a clown.
Yeah, go back and watch early Christian Slater movies, and that's pretty much what he has.
Oh, well, great. Well, that's one of our likes down. All right, so your first Ooh. Dislike, then.
My first dislike is Tara Reid.
Of course, you went for the easy one. She has 8 lines of dialogue in this whole movie.
She does, and they're all delivered terribly. And to random ghosts who
I know.
Don't see. She just is, like, talking. Like, you know, the character that she's talking to will be right in front of her, but for some reason she's talking over here.
I know.
And
she'll
look
that
interested.
She'll say things that don't even seem like they're part of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, when you reread the dialogue in your head, you're like, well that fits with what they're talking about, but the way she just said it, like, seems like she just...
It's exactly. It's all the delivery. Her delivery is so terrible. And I kind of hate on Tara Reid anyway, because she's always sucked, but in this, she at least isn't naked all the time, and she's wearing, she's fully clothed. And
except for the scene, the weird sex scene.
The random sex scene.
But it wasn't even a sex scene, because they were fully clothed through the whole thing.
I don't know.
But they were making humping motions.
She's not even necessarily playing the blonde bimbo, except that somehow she's the least intelligent-seeming archaeologist on the planet.
I know. She just plugs things into a computer, and that does it all the work for her.
Yeah. So she's my first dislike. So what's your...
My first dislike is actually a title.
A title.
Yes. It's called The Unheroic Paranormal Hunter.
Ah.
In the first, 3 minutes of the film, when he gets into the cab and the guy's, asking him annoying questions about what he does for a living. And then he's like, hey, I'm being followed. Would you like me to lose him? And he's like, oh, yes, please. And so they go and they get lost and they go into, the alley and the car gets stuck and the guy backs up to go ram into them. And Christian Slater, or his character, leaps out of the car and he says, get down. And I'm like, he's in a freaking car. He can't get down.
No, you could move to the other side of the car.
You know, he doesn't even help the kid out. He sees it happening for a minute, and it doesn't help him out. He just says, get down, and then he goes, are you okay? And then he runs away.
He's not really much of a hero, is he?
No, and he hides in the crowd, but he doesn't even hide very well. He just half hides in the crowd, and then he's shocked when the bad guy discovers him. It's like you only, ran 5 feet away and then hid behind somebody. I think he noticed.
Probably, but, you know, he's not much of a hero.
No, it's kind of ridiculous. All right, what is your second like?
My second like, oh wait, I have to go back to my first dislike real quick though. It's just a point that needs to be made. Apparently, right. In the DVD release, Uwe Boll went through and deleted almost every scene that Tara Reid was in.
I suddenly like him now.
Right. Okay. So I had to mention that. That was so hilarious. I was like, yes, that's awesome.
Vengeance.
Even Uwe Boll, the worst director of all time, was like, dude, Tara Reid sucks.
Like, she's too bad even for me.
Hilarious.
I wonder if when it went out, she got Damodar to tell her. Like, she hired him and like had him dress up and you're fired.
Alright.
Alright. So your second like.
My second like is the fact that you occasionally get the feel of being in a video game. Unfortunately, it's not the video game that the movie is based on.
I know.
So, like, you have, like, a couple of scenes, like, when they're in the loft, like, his apartment, and they're, like, shooting all the monsters, that almost feels like a video game. Like, I could see it, but more like a Doom video game, not what this video game was based on, which is, the game is Alone in the Dark. It's like a detective puzzle thriller horror movie, or video game. And none of that is in this movie, by the way, but... I did like that occasionally, since I had never played the game, I had to go and look at, like, screenshots and stuff to figure out exactly what it was. So I was, like, all hopeful when I was watching it. I was like, oh, see? Look, they almost got the video game feel down. That's awesome! And, like, the other one was the Crash, who's this tech who sits back in the office and talks to all of them on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking. That almost sounds like something that could be in a video game, but I'm pretty sure it's like a sniper or, you know, one of those modern warfare type video game. Okay. Not Alone in the Dark.
All right. There are video game moments, sure. Well, my second like is actually the devaluation of gold. Do you remember the scene where the evil professor, we find out he's evil, but... The evil professor, he's talking to the people, and they lift out this giant crate, and it's all made of gold. And he starts telling them, like, you know, like, only the ancient of Kani knew what gold was worth. They knew the value of gold. Now it's just not worth anything. And it's like, but that's not exactly true.
Right.
Like, we value gold, we just don't, like, hide monsters in it.
And then the guy... goes, oh, you're right. This gold is totally worthless. I want to find out what's inside because obviously it's going to be worth more than the giant box
made of gold.
Solid gold.
It's a giant gold box worth millions of dollars.
It's like a giant casket that was like 2-inch thick walls, and you're going.
But
what
the professor,
is wrong
with
you?
The guy is convincing. He convinced him.
Totally convinced him that
it was
you're
great.
Right. Gold is worthless now.
I know. I didn't know. It's wonderful. Gold ring's not worth anything, folks. You shouldn't pay money for it.
Exactly.
See how
Glenn Beck says
about that.
What's inside is what counts.
Which happens to be a monster. That kills everybody.
I think this is really a commentary on people.
Maybe.
You know, what's inside each of us is a monster. We might have, you know, a veneer of gold, but we all have a monster inside of us.
Wow, that's deep, Jen.
That's deep. I think it's about as deep as Uwe Boll gets.
All right. Well, your second dislike, then.
The soundtrack.
That's one of mine.
That is seriously probably the worst soundtrack that we've had with these movies.
Tension is marked by dum 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 dum.
No, actually, tension is more marked by dun 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 dun.
Followed by dum 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 dum.
Right. There's no tension whatsoever in this soundtrack. It's
when
like,
they find the dead body and it's all...
Exactly. It's all like this happy music. And I don't know. It's some like German, you know, techno punk rock band or something. I don't even know who it is. But it putting it to this movie that's supposed to be like this action thriller kind of is really pitifully done.
It made me wonder if MIDI was making a comeback.
Right?
Because there were moments when I was like...
The fact that this movie was made in 2005, and this is only 6 years old. And 6 years ago, I'm pretty sure they had better music than this.
Yeah, they had violence.
All of it sounds like the maybe late 70s, mid 80s.
Yeah, it's bad. I did find it enjoyable though that when they that the music that comes on when there's the love scene, that it sounds like porno music.
Right.
It's all like new age porno. It's great.
Brilliant.
Right. Okay, well, my third like, since we just covered a dislike together, which was wonderful. My third like is actually the CGI, mostly. It's not the best in the movie, but there are some scenes where the CG monsters like sound like they're really cool looking.
This is actually my third one as well.
Oh, so. Fantastic. Like, my favorite scene in the whole movie is the scene where the security guard's going through in the dark, and the monster comes up right behind him and, like, stabs him through the head.
And stabs him, because it's a really cool-looking monster.
It's a cool monster, and the scene is surprisingly well shot. It's just really cool with the slight slow motion and the way... Oh, it's great.
The death scene specifically, not the rest of that scene, I hope, because it's,
just that particular shot.
Which is hilarious, but... Yeah, that particular shot was pretty good. And I actually like the when the bullets go into the CGI monsters, there's like that phosphorescent, glow whenever they get struck by bullets. And even when they disperse, it wasn't bad looking. It wasn't great, but it was surprisingly good for a film that is as bad as it is.
Yeah, though I agree.
It's probably some of the best CGI that I'm trying to think of the movies we've seen on Torture Cinema. And I think it's probably the best CGI that we've had. And that's even compared to Avatar, which I just thought was slightly tacky CGI most of the time.
It was not very good. Yeah, good. We covered one. Yay!
So what's third dislike?
Third dislike? I dislike the fact that the production crew were so cheap that they couldn't even make top secret, whatever, 713. That's basically the CIA of paranormal. They couldn't make the documents look like they were made... like in any official capacity, because they just look like really cheap Microsoft Word documents. Like they just like made a table and they colored the sides and then they put a picture in the middle. It's just like really cheap, cheesy. So I guess the good news out of this is that at least Microsoft probably got a bit of money out of and some plugs, but it just was really pathetically bad.
You do realize that even a top secret organization probably uses Microsoft Word, right?
Yeah, but they at least look like they're not using Microsoft Word.
No, they don't. They just look like they're using Microsoft Word.
They
in
use
reality.
Old typewriters. Give me a break. These were cheap. Did you even pay attention when he hands the documents over to Christian Slater, the guy that's been helping him early in the movie? He hands the documents over and he looks at the documents.
Yeah.
And they look like they look really cheap. They look like crap that you'd expect for a garage sale.
They actually look more like text documents as opposed to Word documents, but.
Okay, sure, but with...
Now that I think about it, yes, those documents were pretty pitiful. I was thinking more of the ones that at least they display on the computer screens look slightly spiffy.
Yeah, but that's different, though.
Sad. Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I got. So go with your... What's your third...
All right, my third dislike is how condescending the UA Bull is in that he felt the need to read the opening credits to us. And have constant voiceovers through the rest of the film. It was the same problem with Airbender. I mean,
with half the films we've watched, there's a...
Well, right. So condescending. And what's hilarious is I went through and I read something by the writer of the original script who, like, was super pissed. So pissed at UA Bull that he took the original script and was like, screw you, you don't get to use my script. And so Uwe Boll had to, like, totally get his, people to write this random new script. But apparently Uwe Boll actually called viewers basically idiots in some sort of exchange between himself and this writer. And you can totally feel it in the fact that... And by the way, the opening scene, it's like 10 minutes of sitting there listening.
I know.
Talk about the Upconny and the history and the 713.
Plus 20 minutes of Christian Slater voiceover.
And then you have all the 20 minutes. Right. You have all this voiceover from Christian Slater. So you're going, okay. And what's hilarious about this whole thing is that might almost be a cool story. Unfortunately, you paired it with this movie.
I know. The voiceover has almost very little to do with the movie.
Exactly. They could have just said there's these people called the Opkani and they buried something evil. The end. And that would have been it,
Or they could have had it be about, or they could have just cut it and just had it be the movie that you had.
Exactly. Totally unnecessary, except
it was.
That apparently the viewers of this movie are so stupid, and granted, people who watch this movie and actually say they like it probably are that stupid, but so stupid that they need a 10-minute introduction.
All right. Well, what is your, what are we on, fourth like now?
Fourth like.
All right, give it to me.
Christian Slater's decorator.
Of course.
I wanted to live in that loft. I was like, wow, that's awesome. If I were awesome, I would live there.
It's got like 3 beds in it, a whole bunch of like old crates and tables and...
Right, it's like an archaeologist, paranormal investigator, wet dream house.
Bachelor pad.
Exactly, except that his girlfriend stays there occasionally. So, I mean, he's got like computers like mixed with antiques and kind of a Chinese feel and it was cool and I dug it and I was like, I want to live there. And it's dusty all the time.
Right, because he's always gone.
Exactly.
And pissing off Tara Reid because he's gone and she apparently thought he was dead. And he was like, I just went to go look for stuff.
Well, what I found out is that's actually because of this movie is based on the game that came before it, which is like the third or fourth installment of Alone in the Dark.
Okay.
And at the end of it, he leaves or something like it's the one that actually has these characters in it. Well, Edward Cranberry is in all of them, but her character is in like the fourth movie or something. And then supposedly everybody dies and disappears right at the end of that. And that's what this is supposedly, you know, building off of. Really
okay.
Poorly,
well,
granted, but
they could have just cut that all out.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Okay. So my fourth, like, weapons porn.
Right?
Because they're cool. Okay, so they're cool machine guns with like cool phosphorescent bullets that like shine, and they're all and there's pistols and there's like spikes and then of course we've got the like remote controlled like Gatling guns. And then of course there's that scene which you've already mentioned where they have the heavy metal music and like the cool flashy stuff of just people shooting guns a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. That was, it made me feel very manly.
It did.
Yeah,
kind of sad for you.
I got a little extra testosterone from that.
Yeah, and him with his revolver.
With the big revolver that he carries around limply.
I know, right?
You gotta hold it straight, buddy. Hold it straight and firm.
It's not gonna do much if you're pointing at the ground.
If you're not holding it firmly.
Yeah.
Gotta squeeze a little bit more. There you go.
Oh, and the detector thingies, like, I mean, it was very high tech.
It was a little cheap sometimes, but there was some good high tech.
Exactly. It was cool. All right, what are we on?
Fourth dislike. What's yours?
Fourth dislike. Oh, my fourth dislike is the lame zombies.
I always put that on my list.
You know, well, okay, so these things, they're actually, like, according to the introduction, they are called sleepers, which were the orphans that were kidnapped as children along with the main character.
Right, and they have a thing put in their spine.
They have this thing put in their spine, except that apparently some of them don't look like zombies because the guy in the beginning has one of those things on his spine, but he doesn't become a zombie. So it's only people who apparently have it done as children. They become zombies. And with these,
but what guy has a thing on his spine and doesn't become a zombie?
Well, he's, like, kind of mindless, but he doesn't have, like, the gray-looking flesh and, you know, he doesn't look dead.
But that's totally random, like, the gray-looking flesh, because...
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, is that the zombies were so lame that they couldn't decide what they were going to look like. They're like, we're going to have real people zombies, and then we're going to have dead-looking zombies. Because the real people zombies, obviously, don't really look like zombies. They are, if you go with the kind of original term of zombie, but... The modern, you know, rendition of a zombie is dead people, you know, with the graying flesh and they tear your hearts out with their teeth and whatever. And that's what you get with the sleeper zombies, which is like this horde of mindless, it's not really much of a horde, but like 20 zombies or so.
Like,
and then
five.
You have a couple of other ones. Fisher, for instance, I don't think he has like the gray flesh. He just blows himself up. And then the guy in the beginning. So it was totally random, and they were pitiful. I mean, there was just nothing cool about them at all.
Yeah, and I'll be talking about that a little bit more later.
Yeah, if they had all been like the one in the beginning, I would have been okay with it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, okay, so yours.
All right, so my fourth dislike is actually the fact that the movie makes no sense.
That's a good dislike.
I want to give only two specific examples. The first is, okay, so there's Miles, right, who's like in charge of the military, not the guy that goes down with them into the pit.
Oh, but the one that's up above.
That's in charge, right? So he sends the girl soldier over to go check on the people on the front lines to get a report. And she goes over there, and everybody's dead, and then she comes back and tells him they're all dead. And then he's like, go find higher ground, I'll stay here. And my thought is, like, if they were all already dead, why haven't you already been attacked? It's not like they're 10 miles away. They're within, like, general running distance.
Not even running distance. They're, like, right in front of him.
I know, they're, like, really close, and he goes and runs, and I just didn't understand. I didn't get, like, wouldn't you have noticed?
Oh, okay. Well, how about the fact that then he sends her to higher ground, and she goes up to higher ground, and then she randomly disappears, and then he follows her up to higher ground, and then he disappears, and there's, like, nothing else about it. Or did I miss something?
No, they both disappear. Well, he gets killed, but we don't really know what happens to her.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, there are scenes that literally, it's kind of like the Winchester Mystery House. Where, you know, you have the stairways that go to walls.
They're on a roller coaster.
On a roller coaster?
That's what that is. When they're climbing up the stairs, that's alongside a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You didn't notice it?
No, I totally, it was like, it was supposed to be a mine, so it was the...
It was a roller coaster, it was not
right?
A mine.
It totally was, like an old wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
But basically it's just these scenes that totally dead end. And you're like, wait a minute, what just happened? Was there a point to even filming that?
Yeah. The other good scene that does this is almost towards the end when the evil professor shows up and gets the thing from them. And they say, they've already decided they're not going to open the door. So they tell him, don't open the door. And he opens the door and then he dies or disappears. I don't remember what happens to him. And then they go inside. My thought is like...
Why would you go inside?
You just told them not to open it.
Right.
So apparently, don't open the door means don't open it because then we'll have to go inside.
Right.
It's this very odd logic. I don't quite get it. And then, of course, they go inside and then they blow it up and whatever.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Okay, so you're...
For fifth like.
Are we?
Yeah, because I already did Christian Slater's Decorator.
Oh, whoops. I have six likes.
All right. So my fifth like, it's kind of epic, totally awesome like, is the fact that I never have to watch this movie ever again.
Yes! Bam!
I mean, twice. Seriously. It's, okay, so we kind of hinted on this. This movie is just, it's so boring.
I know. Yeah.
That, it wasn't even like Guyver bad, though. I mean, so Guyver put me to sleep, which made it kind of cool, you know? This one was just like, wow, okay, I'm gonna go read a book while this movie plays, and I'll still probably catch everything that's important.
Probably.
Yeah, so I'm glad I never have to watch it again until you say that we have to watch the second movie, and then I'll have to torture.
There's another Alone in the Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Not directed by Uwe Boll, but there's a second one that is supposed to be worse than the first one.
Is that possible?
Right?
Stop mentioning these movies. I have to put them on the list whenever we hear about it.
Well, no.
All right. Well, my last like, emo generator guy.
Oh, right? I love him. Only because he's in Stargate Universe right now. And
he's from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, that's right. So... Yeah, I was really excited when I saw him.
I love how he's like, they're getting on his case about the generator, and they're just yelling at him every 5 minutes, like, get the generator up, get the generator up.
They're going, what is the point of this scene? Why is he even here? You know?
I love it, but
lines. He's
when
one
you
of
see
the
his
few characters, like side characters that has lines. But basically his lines are, no, it's not up yet. Give me a break. And then, you know, and then 5 minutes later you have another little cut scene of them going, where's the Jenny? And he's going, it's almost up. And that's it.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that they get on his case so much that you can see him getting more and more, like, hurt. At the end, the final thing when he comes up and he's like, finally, the generator's up. Finally, God. And he, like, curses at him and he's, looks over and he goes, Miles, with this sad expression on his face.
I must have skipped over that part. I just went straight to the part where he gets blown up because it was hilarious.
I know, he dies. He gets this messed up death.
I mean, he's had this like horrible last 10 minutes of his life, half hour of his life, horrible, with everybody giving him crap, and then he just gets blown up. Right after he gets it, he makes his goal, and he's like, yes, I did it. I got the Jenny running. And then he gets blown up, along with the generator. It's awesome.
Yeah, they even give him crap even when he gets it done.
Right.
And it's just like, it's just his expression is just like, you feel really bad for him. Poor emo generator guy.
What was kind of funny about it is that they kept calling him like Colonel or something, or Captain. I don't know. So like, supposedly he had a fairly...
Casper or something.
I don't know. I thought it was a rank that they were saying. So I was assuming it was a fairly high rank that they were giving all this crap. And I was like, that seems kind of weird, you know, just saying.
Well, maybe they don't act like military people anyway. No, so
it's a good point. So, all right. So
your last dislike.
My last dislike is that this movie is so lame that the lamest sucked all the joy out of hating on this movie. I mean, I already touched on this again, but it just was like, that's what this movie was. It was just it wasn't even as bad as In the Name of the King. I mean, because In the Name of the King had some like really horrible things about it. And this just was so blandly bad. There's a reason that this is why I could only come up with four dislikes at first. I was like, there's nothing to really, that's just horrible.
This is true. Other movies we've watched, it was really easy to pick. It was sometimes hard to narrow them down to five. In this case, you were the other way. You were just, it was a bad movie, but there was no particular thing that really stood out as being extra bad.
Nothing that stood out. Exactly. It didn't have any bad highlights. It just was bad in general. It was just...
I agree. So, okay. Well, my last dislike then?
Yes.
Disagreements between on-screen text and Christian Slater's voiceover? Did you notice this?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, there's when they get out of the big giant pit and they've survived, he and Tara Reid, which unfortunately she's the last woman on Earth or something. It's awful. But at that moment, you see the city and it's been abandoned. And you get this thing that says like 8:45 a.m. the city is fully evacuated or completely evacuated or something like that, right? Granted, this is L.A., so
is it supposed to be L.A.? I can never figure out what city
I think it was L.A., or it was some other massive city. It's a massive city, and there's no way you could evacuate the city in like 6 hours. It's not possible.
No. But then he says that that's not what happened.
I know. He says, but like in the old times, the Okani died, and then that's what happened again. But I'm like, well, which is it? Did they get evacuated, or are they all dead? Because it can't be both.
No, it can't be both, and... there were no dead people on the streets, except that the Abkhani just disappeared. So presumably the people were all eaten and their blood licked up because that's the only way that the same thing could have happened. Unless they locked themselves into a deep, dark pit randomly. Yeah. And that last scene, by the way, is just, it's another 10 minute. Like, why are you still showing us the empty city? We get it. It's freaking empty. Can we move on, please?
I know. Like,
the end.
You've already bored us for an hour and 30 minutes.
We don't need another five of just sitting there going, okay, empty city. That's it's really cool that Uwe Boll was able to empty out an entire city just by showing one of his films.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Well, what grade are we going to give this then?
All I can really give it is a C minus. It's just,
yeah, I think I'd give it a C minus as well.
Absolutely bad.
Because it's not as bad as some of the films we've watched, but it's not good either.
There's literally nothing good about it except for Christian Slater and his decorator.
And the emo generator guy.
But you should only watch this movie if you just want to see the guy from Battlestar Galactica and Stargate Universe randomly in a movie. Making sad faces. He's good at sad faces, so it makes sense. But yeah, unless you want to see that, there's literally no reason to watch this movie at all. Definitely don't watch it if you're a fan of the original video games.
Just don't watch it at all. We just watched it for you. Right. Why would you want to watch it?
I exactly. Good point.
So don't watch it.
Don't watch it. Even if it's only a C minus in our estimation.
Yeah, but we might
actually give a torture cinema an A at some point. An A for bad.
No. That'll never happen. No. Never.
But something that's just so good at being bad. Like, this one was bad at being bad because it was just bad, you know?
Okay.
I think we could do it. I think we'll find that movie someday. It'll be like the highlight of torture cinema.
No.
Yeah, you're lame.
No. No.
All right.
All right.
So that's what movie was this again?
In the Dark. Alrighty, well, if you want to suggest a movie that we should watch, you can do that, or you could yell at us in case you actually love this movie and you think we're morons.
In which case, you're a moron.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm happily gonna say that. You are a moron if you liked this movie.
Well, okay, but you can, of course, contact us in three different ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can leave a tweet.
Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanty.
Or leave a comment on our blog.
SkiffyandFanty.wordpress.com.
Yep, and before we sign off, we're going to change a little thing on how we select the movies, because we've got a lot of suggestions. So what we're now going to do is every month we're going to have a poll. We're going to have a poll up with like five choices of the films that have been suggested to us. You pick one, and we will take the one that has received the most hits, and then we'll reset the poll and add an extra one in, and we'll just keep doing that until we go through every movie we've got. So this way you'll have some choice over how you torture us.
Yeah, choice over how you torture us.
Which should bring you lots of joy.
Apparently, high school students find torture more acceptable than they used to.
Well, then...
That's your interesting social factoid for the day.
Is that because Damodar is their teacher?
Probably.
Social studies.
Or maybe they just got used to being tortured under the Bush regime. Just
2 + 2 = 4.
All right, everybody, have a good week.
All right, bye. Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
In your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you, always.
End of line.